The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat Podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Every week, your Cincinnati.com beat writers, Paul Leonard Jr. and
Fletcher Page,
take you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium. We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. All right, welcome into the deuce.
BBP2, Stepchild, where all the weird stuff goes down in the Bengals podcast franchise. Paul Leonard Jr., Fletcher Page, your Inquirer, Bengals beat writer, Cincinnati.com. What's up? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
You are ready.
I'm strong. It's Thursday of a big game week, and I've still got a lot of energy.
You still got a lot of energy. That's good. I would hope so. Because really, the energy is mostly needed. This has been a boring. You haven't even, like, it's been. I think previous weeks have had more going on than this one.
The only way that I knew this was a different week was that Doc came by on Wednesday to the locker room.
Yeah, that's true. And was here all day working on stuff. He's going to have our cover story on Sunday. You can check that out. Much more on that type of stuff. Before we get too far in, we got lots of Bengals content to get to. We are going to talk about the Tez Juju fun thing that's about to go down on Sunday. I've got a little bit on that. Hear from Darquez Denard talking a little bit about his take on that whole thing. We're going to talk about some of the matchups that are particularly interesting, including the Bengals special teams, which has been in a bit of disarray in recent weeks. We are going to offer up our predictions, and then we're going to drop in some CJ Uzama, who was great on Beyond Stripes this week. So some interesting takes from him on what Bengals Steelers is, and then his hot seat with Doc, which had a lot of good stuff in it. So highly recommend giving that a listen if you get a chance. First, I want to address, since you just heard it, this has been brought to my attention from a couple people that maybe are not understanding that it's a joke, that you are still, like, robotically in the open.
That's the best part of the joke.
I thought it would come across that clearly this is a joke, but I was sort of being chastised some this week. But how could you not have fixed this? How many podcasts do you have to do until you just redo it with, like, the real Fletcher Page in there and not the voicemail and the entry?
I appreciate the people. I feel like they're coming to my defense.
They are coming. They feel like you should. They're offended for you.
Yeah, I'm not a scab, you know. I'm not a replacement. I'm official.
You're official. You're officially in there. They stuck it in there, you know. And I like that. Here's how I say it. I feel that it's sort of like the dumb thing that Hugh Jackson did on Hard Knocks, where they had to earn their stripes. Yeah. The Browns had to earn their stripe on their helmet. I feel like maybe that's sort of where we're at. Well, I feel like you need to do something to earn your stripe. Now, I have an idea on this, as you might imagine.
I feel like this is an ambush. This is
I did not mention any of this before, but I have had this idea. I feel as though we should put something on the line, and I think, well, I already know that the two of us are probably going to be going in two different directions on predictions today. Mm-hmm. And perhaps how long your name stays a robotic insertion into the open is on the line, depending on who ends up closest to being correct with their prediction on Sunday for Sunday's game. Is that something you could get behind?
I'm always up for a wager.
Or you can come up with a more interesting wager. I'm fine with that.
No, I think that makes it's going to make me dig a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Look into the numbers a little bit longer.
Well, it's too late because it's about to happen. I like that. We'll get to all of that at prediction time. I'm excited about that. Let's talk a little bit about Tez and Juju.
Okay, I've been drilling down.
I've been kind of working on this week. And you'll see more on that on Cincinnati.com this weekend as far as what we should expect between these two on Sunday. Their history is well documented. To run through it real quickly, I mean, obviously last year, Juju blew up Tez on a play. Stood over top of him. It was hit with taunting. He ended up being suspended a game. And if it would have ended there in football, I think people would have said, okay, that's fine. He has like a YouTube series where he plays like Call of Duty or Fortnite or something. And he talks during while he plays, and he went into how he called Tez the dirtiest player in the league, and he was all pumped when he realized that he had blown up the dirtiest player in the league, but he apologized for standing over him because that wasn't him. But yeah, that a couple weeks later scores a touchdown, and they reenacted him blowing up Tez and standing over top of him, which gave him a concussion and ended up knocking him out for the rest of the season. Then there's been a lot of exchanges on social media.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask. Did that happen or begin before the hit or after the hit?
Social media stuff started kicking up after the hit. I mean, the hit really sparked everything in here. Tez at one point was blaming the hit for why he got suspended and what he was taking, and Juju claimed that he was on, quote, slurp juice. I don't really know. Like, maybe I should know what that is, but I'm not. Are you going to Urban Dictionary that real quick?
I used to know what it was in my early 20s, I think. Yeah. Everybody calls it something different.
Yeah, but purple drink, all that stuff. I'm not sure exactly. Moonshine. I'm not sure exactly what it is. But anyway.
Oh, it's a Fortnite reference.
It is a Fortnite reference. Okay. Anyway.
I've never had slurp juice.
No. So then there was more chatter that came his way when he was calling himself the deadliest hit stick weapon, and they sort of inserted Juju into Fortnite as blowing up Tez and was ripping on him there. And then at one point there was an Instagram post that Joe Mixon had posted, and somebody came in adding Vontaze Burfict saying, you should kill Juju next year. And Burfict chimed in with, oh, it's going to come. And all of that stuff, it just sets the stage. And the question being, to me, is how far has it gone too far? And how far will it go on Sunday? I think that's what we're all waiting to see.
Well, I think it certainly went too far in this last December.
Yeah.
But this isn't, for me, if you get in an argument with somebody and they're yelling and then you start yelling and you're like, this isn't who I am. Why am I yelling? It's like you can't call Tez the dirtiest player in the league and then go be the dirtiest player of the night.
Right.
You know?
Well, and to me, this all social media garbage, I could care less about. Like, I don't. To me, when you are mocking giving someone a concussion, it goes over the top. And when that person is someone like Vontaze Burfict, it's fair to wonder what you're gonna see on Sunday. And I think this is, because I think that will be hard for any player to control his emotions when you play a physical game. You play it angry. You're a tip of the spear type guy. And here's this guy who has been personally attacking you and did lay you out and concuss, give you a concussion last year and make fun of it. And it's like, now you've got to go be on the field with them. And we have not, in fact, we have not talked to Tez yet this week as we record this. That may change in a matter of hours. But, you know, so I talked to a couple other guys that I know are, they know him well and they understand the situation well. The one I want to bring you is my conversation with Darquez Dennard, just a portion of it, talking to him about what he thought about how, what happened and expectations for how they think it's going to get handled on Sunday. I just want to bring you this to give you kind of a quick glimpse. Here's Darquez Dennard.
I mean, obviously people will say, oh, that game in December went too far. Some people will say that it was too much. It was cringeworthy. Do you look back on it and look at it that way? Or do you
No, like I just think it's football. I mean, any game can kind of go that way. I don't really remember any unnecessary penalties or anything, like unnecessary roughness or anything like that. I just think you know, it's football. It's going to be a lot of physicality. It's going to be stuff like that. Unfortunately, people got hurt.
Yeah.
Something you don't wish on both sides, you know. But it's football, so it's not really, you know, flagged. So it's,
yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a, when people say that, it's kind of like that's the nature of the sport. That's how the sport was played. So.
There was the hit that Juju had on Tez, which, which whatever, it happened. You know what? He got fined and suspended for taunting and all that stuff. Afterwards, a couple weeks later, you guys probably know. I mean, he did like scored a touchdown and did a celebration recreating that. Is that the kind of stuff that goes too far? That like is just over the top because it's like making fun of giving you a concussion and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's kind of it. Yeah, it definitely went too far. Cause, like I said, you don't wish no harm on anybody that's playing this sport, regardless of however anybody feel on both sides. So, I mean, we all, at the end of the day, we're human. We all got families. You know, we have our own lives, you know, past football. So, you definitely don't want to see that, and that's unfortunate. But
is that tough to squash as a football player when you go out there knowing that, you know, to put that out of your mind because stuff that, you know what I mean? Like, is that tough to play without thinking of that and things like that?
For me, I don't take stuff personal.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we all kind of, at the end of the day, you know, we all able, if you have a problem with somebody, we can easily get in contact with each other.
So
I just think, you know, some stuff should be just left on the field. And, you know, shouldn't be, you know, kind of mocked and laughed at. But, you know, it's football. So.
No, I mean, that happened to Tez. I mean, do you keep that in mind? Do you wonder how tough that would be for him being out there this weekend and not wanting to?
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, Tez is our brother, but we can't take no personal battles into the game because that's kind of, you know, somewhere we don't want to go. I mean, the goal is to win the game, so you got to, you know, put that aside.
That's not, I mean, you've played with him long enough, that's not something where you feel like anybody needs to talk to him about and be like, just the best retaliation is winning this game and let's not get caught up in that stuff.
I mean, it's football though, so if you catch the ball, you know, you have opportunity, you know, if you want to say revenge, I mean, but it's really not, it's football, so it's not really no take
as
attack.
As long as it's legal,
It's going to be legal. So it's, you know, it's football, so it's not like it's basketball when a guy punch you or something like that. So you all, everybody have a chance to tackle each other, block each other. So it's just a battle.
Here's my take on this. Is I think Sunday serves as a great opportunity. Now, even Quez said, and Drake or Patrick, I talked to him, he said very similar things. They expect Tez to be looking to line Juju up in between the lines and lay a big stick on him. I mean, I think they are anticipating that, and I think they're okay with that. The problem is if it goes beyond the rules, if it gets a personal foul, if it gets you ejected. I think this is a big chance for Vontez Burfict to prove to his teammates and gain back some of the trust he lost by missing those first four games with the PED stuff and to help this team realize that Tez is not going to be same old Tez distraction guy. Now, should we believe that that's going to be the case? We're going to talk a lot about history in this BBP.
Yeah.
And history would suggest that that won't be the case, that Tez will flip out. Maybe he is different. Maybe this is a different feel. Maybe he won't let this, but he's never been more personally attacked than this. And I think this is a big opportunity for him to try, and if he does it between the lines and doesn't let it go beyond that, to prove something to his teammates a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think my take on what happened last year is, and I don't condone that hit that Juju put down and him taunting, but could you imagine being in the moment, this rivalry game, everything that's happened, for that to happen and that much emotion coming out? I understand it. I mean, I couldn't imagine how good he probably felt about what he'd just done there in that moment.
He thought it was clean.
Right. And then the taunting just comes out of just like, you know, that's a woo play.
Yeah.
But what's inexcusable is, like you said, what was premeditated, which was the celebration weeks later, making fun of it. And that again, the premeditation of Tez trying to get payback is inexcusable. If something happens in the confines of the game and the flow of a play and he's able to get it, that's great.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But
I think that's what his teammates are saying. That's what the whole team is fine with. The problem is we've seen in the past stuff not be within a play or even happen before a game.
Right.
These two teams fought very famously and publicly back in 2015 before a game even started, based on some social media stuff that involved Tez. Right. Vince Williams, "I'm going to paint that boy on South Beach," was a tweet that started all that stuff up. Will that type of stuff happen again?
Right. And you know, Tez was involved in something totally different but similar, in that when Le'Veon Bell got hurt, the Steelers were very offended by Tez's reaction to it.
Yeah.
But again, that was in the emotion, in the heat of the moment. This Twitter stuff, I mean, all this stuff just
always. See, I try not to take. The problem is that sometimes it does lead to something. Marvin Lewis, I mean, talked afterwards for a long time and about how he learned to take social media crap more seriously.
Yeah.
After that fight, because he realized he kind of brushed off all the social media stuff as not being a big deal, and then there it was, the fight before the game, realizing that to these guys it was a big deal, and he should have been taking it more seriously, and then the Bengals players were viewing it as death threats. I don't think that we're at that. We at least it hasn't been at that on anybody's social media or anything anybody has said in any interviews yet. But I'm very curious to see how this winds up and if Tez is able to control himself, especially if, depending on which direction this game goes. And either way, I think you could see a celebratory, okay, now we're up, I'm going to get my shot at Juju, or I'm down and frustrated and this guy is going to be the one to pay for it. I don't know. Odds Vontez Burfict gets ejected from Sunday's game. I wonder what Vegas would put that at if we had to ballpark it. Let's say, I think you could probably get 9-1. I think you could get 9-1. If I was handicapping for Vegas right now for Bovada.lv, I think I'd go 9-1 would be what I'd place down.
Especially considering the new rules.
Yeah. I mean, that could be part of it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't know. Very interesting to see. Obviously, keep it locked on Cincinnati.com and we'll update this. If Tez talks or I have a request in for Juju right now, so we'll see if I can get that. All that stuff. We'll try to bring it to you. There will be a story about this.
What are the odds that you're going to get Tez to talk or Juju to talk?
Probably I will get something from Juju. I have the Steelers have basically said I will get something.
Okay,
it may just be a transcript of whatever he does in Pittsburgh, but I have a request for an interview. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what they're able. There's no guarantees in those situations. And I may get a transcript with a bunch of dumb questions about Ben Roethlisberger in there. Who knows? Because I don't know how the Pittsburgh media views it. They tend to laugh off a lot of that stuff over there. I have much respect for Pittsburgh media. That's not a knock on them. They approach. I'm not trying to start a beef. Yeah. They approach stuff differently. Like any home, there's just a different view on things from their side than there is on this side a lot of times. And that's a story that they covered way back when. So anyway, we'll see what comes of all that. Okay, it's good. Let's get into predictions a little bit. You want to do that?
Mm-hmm. I think that both of us are going to become something that we both hate.
Yeah, I hate hating myself.
No, you don't.
No, I'm very.
It's easier. It's an easier.
It's
life.
Easier thing just to hate myself. Let's talk about the matchups and the keys, though. What do you think is the most important aspect of this game?
I think the most important aspect is the reason why Doc was here and asking questions about Marvin. I do think poise is a big deal because in December, the Bengals didn't have any turnovers in that game. AJ Green has two. First-half touchdowns.
They just melted down in the second half.
They had 13 penalties.
Yeah.
They lost their poise. So I think that is the biggest factor in this game.
It's always poise in this game.
It's not Team A and Team B like I try to do every other week. It's Cincinnati-Pittsburgh. Yeah. And I think if it gets into one of those, dude maintain.
Yeah. You have to.
They have to. And if it gets testy and tempers are kind of flaring, I think that's an edge to the Steelers because it always is.
Yeah. The one thing that's been the difference is this team has done a much better job of dealing with adversity this year. And that's, what I've seen with mine eyes through five games trumps a lot of anything that I hear or think I feel about. I've thought the Bengals were too tight. I've thought they were too loose. I've thought that they were just right. I've thought that Marvin said the wrong things. I've thought that Marvin said the right things. We've seen every approach taken, and none of it has mattered. They still are 2-15 in Paul Brown Stadium. They still have lost 9 of 10. They still have lost 6 in a row. They've done it. They've had different types of teams. They've had offensive teams. They've had defensive teams. They've had gritty teams. They've had star-studded teams. For the most part, it's not mattered. And so the one thing I think, though, is you need a team that does well in adverse situations, and they have been that this year, and I will credit them. And the Steelers have been what? They've been a team that is full of drama. Antonio Brown is like just got these civil suits now where he's like throwing furniture at a memory of the like Israeli mob. What?
He could have killed a toddler.
He's got $80,000 in a tote bag. He's got a gun in the closet.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Thank you very much. All of this, he says these are false things. False. They're all lies. But that's after he didn't show up. That's after Le'Veon hasn't been there. That's after, every week it's something more ridiculous, and Antonio and Ben are on the wrong page and not connecting, and they tied the Browns and they got outclassed in their own building on Sunday Night Football against the Ravens. This has not been the same Steelers, but they're always the same Steelers when they come here. That's why I think I have not been more torn over a prediction. I can't remember how long that I've been this torn over a prediction.
I can agree. In my illustrious 4-week career,
this now being your fourth prediction, this has been the hardest one.
I am pushed to the max because I can't quantify anything you're saying.
Yeah,
I watched the 2015 playoff game in an apartment in Macon, Georgia. I was living and dying on that one.
Yeah,
but I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know if Cincinnati is too tense in big moments or they've been too loose and all these things, and nobody does really. I mean, you've got a feel for the team, but we can't quantify these things, and that, of course, makes us uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it so hard to predict.
They believe they have a new mentality, and I tend to believe them when they say that. this year feels different. You know, people have been referring back a lot. Oh, man, especially when the offense was humming. Like, ah, oh, this is like 2015, man.
Yeah.
And I actually look at this team, and this is for those that go way back, and I more connect them to 2009, a team that was maybe a year earlier than you thought it would be, that had a fast start with a lot of comeback wins, a lot of adversity. You know, they were just sort of scrappy finding ways to do it where you didn't think that they belonged being as good as they were. They swept the North and ended up winning the division because of that. And they, early in that season, had a game with Pittsburgh in their house. They had not beaten Pittsburgh at home since 2001. And they came from behind in the final seconds, got a fourth down conversion by Brian Leonard, and a touchdown by Andre Caldwell with, like, almost no time left to win the game 23-20. I look at that and say, oh, maybe there is some precedent for the way this team has played. Now, that team, I don't know that they had lost 6 in a row, 9 of 10. But I do think that there's something – I think there are similarities. There are similarities in that. But special teams is going to be huge. It always is so many times. And the Bengals have just been screwy on special teams lately.
Right. Got the block kick last week, gave up a touchdown, punt return touchdown to end the first half.
Yeah.
And Steelers enter after blocking a punt.
Punt return. I mean, it's just been a mess. And the Steelers block a punt.
And Mike Tomlin's getting questions, though, about if Chris Boswell's job is safe.
Yeah. Chris Boswell's 17 of 17 inside of Paul Brown Stadium, by the way, in four games.
But this season he hasn't been
good. This season he hasn't been good.
But see, that just goes right into your narrative of the Steelers come to Cincinnati and get right.
They do. It's totally it's get right stadium for them. I mean, and it'll be full of Steelers fans that make the trip as they always do, and that changes things as well. All right. Let's hate ourselves. Are you prepared to hate yourself?
I'm prepared.
Okay, you open up. Are you? We'll see if you stick with it. If you have the guts to follow through, because it's officially official once we make it official. This is official. What do you got?
Okay, well, I don't like where I'm at here with this, but I'm.
Why don't you like where you're at?
Because I don't like to just say, well, the Bengals can't beat the Steelers because they can't. You know, like I can't point to something. I think that. On paper, at least, if I was doing Team A, Team B, I think Cincinnati's the better team. And like you said, they've been through diverse adversity.
Yeah,
they've had a come from behind win. They've had a last second win. They've had the defense was the reason the first time. The offense was the reason the previous time.
Mm-hmm.
I think I mixed that up, but it just for lumping it all together, these next 2 weeks are gonna. It's the four real tests. It's gonna show us who the Bengals really are.
Totally.
Can they? If they beat the Steelers, they'll have control of the North. And then you can start expecting more than just a playoff appearance, which all of that sounds crazy, I know, because of the trends, 1991 and all these things.
Yeah.
Until it happens, though, it just feels all related is what I'm trying to get to, is that they're not good in primetime. They can't beat the Steelers. They haven't won a playoff game forever. All these things, to me, just sort of add up to a culture that just has not been able to prove itself on big stages.
Mm-hmm.
And until it happens, regardless of if the team is better or not, which is stupid, I'm going to pick the Steelers to win 27-24 with a Boswell kick late.
Boswell kick.
Now,
Boswell at the gun.
I think that this is stupid because, like I just said, I think the Bengals are the better team.
Yeah.
I think they should win in a close game, but I can't pick them.
It's been the DNA of who they are. They've done everything but find ways to beat the Steelers and win big games. You know? And that's why I hate what I'm about to do. And here's why. Because this team burned me in this prediction. I'm going to tell the story. I've told it a couple times. But here, if anybody remembers back in 2013, Lance over at 700, Lance McAllister, had a bunch of us writers on before the San Diego playoff game. And we, at the end of that hour where we all previewed it, it was time. He asked Saul to go offer predictions. And man, I looked at the football and it made perfect sense. The Bengals were 8-0 at home that year. They had beaten the Chargers a few weeks prior. I mean, they had just been on a roll. Everything pointed to the Bengals. There's no reason they shouldn't exorcise the demons. And I predicted an exorcism to end all exorcisms and a huge blowout by the Bengals. And everyone finally just letting it all out. All 20 at that point in time, 22 years of frustration, all coming out on a triumphant Sunday at Paul Brown Stadium. I was over the top. I went way over the top. I don't need to tell people listening to this what happened. 27-6, getting their butts kicked by the Chargers up and down the field. Mike Zimmer leaves. Jay Gruden leaves. We know what happens next. From that point forward, I said, I am not buying in. I'm making this team prove it to me on all of these major trend situations from this point forward. And that's what this is. This is the same thing. Those numbers. This trend is just that. It is, why should I believe that this team is going to be different than what it has always been? Even though I've watched it be different through five games, even though I know that they have talent and I know that the Steelers have struggled in a lot of key aspects and I believe in a lot of the matchups, and I'm going to do it again. I'm going to take the bait. Harkening back to that 2009 team, I'm going 23-20, the same score that it was that day. Bengals win over the Steelers is my prediction. I am such a sucker. I'm such a fish. I hate myself for doing this. I don't want to do it because I know that I'm just going to look like an idiot when it ends up being 7 in a row and 10 of 11 and 16-2. And I'm going to say, why would I not have believed that those ridiculous trends would not continue? This is who they've always been. Why did I try to give them the benefit of the doubt? Why? But yet here I am. Bengals win 23-20.
Well, you put me in a pretty bad spot because all the fans are going to love you on the Twitter if you're right. And if I'm right, I get a new intro on the podcast. Right.
If you're right, you get a new intro for next week. Correct.
So that'll forever attach the intro to a Steelers win in this rivalry.
Oh, it's not. No one will. I hope people don't think of it that way. Maybe they will. They'll hate you forever. And you just hate the Bengals.
I'm hating myself.
No, but I'm just a homer. You're just some homer, you sap, you hack. That's all it is. That's all it is. Just some homer hack. I think the discussion we've just had, and these games always are close, right? And the Bengals consistently have not finished. And that's why they believe it's different. I mean, they are really banking on the fact that they have finished so well. We talked about that, on the OG earlier this week.
I mean, no disrespect to the Browns, but winner of this game. I mean, if Cincinnati pulls this off with wins over the Ravens and Steelers moving forward at 5-1.
Oh, no. That was disrespect to the Browns.
Sorry.
No disrespect. No, you're allowed. If there's ever a place where disrespecting the Browns is fully encouraged, it's
I'm not
here.
Saying the Browns are on that slurp juice, but.
But I'm saying there's probably some in one of those coolers. Maybe Josh Gordon took it with him when he left.
Well, they're on the way back up with Baker, right? So,
we'll have plenty of time to talk about the Browns being. Yeah, we hate on the Browns, and I hate on the Browns, and I have a couple of very, very friendly wagers with some of my friends about the over-under with the Browns that I'm looking destined to lose because they have proven to be much better.
Yeah.
Why it took them so long to go to Baker, I don't know. But we'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That about wraps us up. So we're going to bring in Beyond the Stripes, who we have with CJ Uzama on this week. He talks about the Steelers and what those games are like from a player's perspective and a little bit more into this rivalry going forward. And then Doc talks with him about all kinds of stuff. Very weird, interesting, fun stuff.
It was a meandering hot seat.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. CJ's one of my favorite guys. Super interesting dude. So anyway, enjoy that. Here's CJ Zoma, Beyond the Stripes, and we will talk to you on the walkout Sunday night as we react to Bengals Steelers. Have a good one, everybody.
All right, welcome back to Beyond the Stripes. We are now joined on the desk here at 312 by Bengals fourth-year tight end CJ Uzomah. CJ, what's up?
How's it going?
Welcome to the show. We were bemoaning earlier. I can't believe this is your first time on the show.
First time on the show.
Be prepared. It's very hot. The lights are hot. We need to get you makeup or anything so you don't sweat too much?
I actually got my own makeup before I came, so
yeah. I'm ready. Makeup artist with them on the road. All right, so we play a game called Fill in the Blank. All right. To get this kick started, we're going to run through. Lindsay, I'll let you kick it off. The question is, Bengals-Steelers games are blank. What do you say?
They're different. You'll hear the players tomorrow on Wednesday Media Day say it's the same. It's just the same week. It's nothing really that's different from playing the Dolphins or Kansas City. But this game is always going to be different because this team has had trouble with the Steelers and beating them at home and on the road. So I feel like you go into this game thinking it's not like the others. And okay. Of course, an AFC North rival.
CJ, you can probably answer this question as having been between the lines of it. What is it for you? Bengals Steelers games are what?
I'd say gritty. Yeah. And it's a grind. I think that it's not every other game for sure, because it is a division opponent and we are playing at home, and our plan is to go undefeated in the division and to go undefeated at home. And so that in and of itself makes it, you know, different. But I think it's gritty. You know, every time that we play them, that we get their best, they get our best, and that's how it's supposed to be. So I'm honestly looking forward to it personally, and I know the team. We're going to be juiced for sure.
Yeah. What do you say, Fletch?
I'm going to go with the for real test, because yeah. we keep having to hear about Cincinnati can't beat the Steelers, Cincinnati can't play in prime time, can't win a postseason game. Everything runs through the Steelers. They want to win the division, want to perform well in the postseason in prime time. I think this is a test to see if Cincinnati's for real.
There's no doubt that there's everyone in the city, at least the fans, will always say this is the one that you want and this is the real test. But to me, Bengals Steelers games are brutal. I've written about this so many times. You guys ruin each other's seasons because so many guys come out of it on crutches or hurt. Right. I mean, it seems to me, you said gritty, but like there's just a different physicality, and sometimes it's almost cringeworthy to watch. The way you guys go at each other is that different between these two teams?
Yeah, I think we throw around our bodies, and it's we're selling out. 100%, because like you three have said, there's a different vibe even around the city. Everyone knows it, and everyone knows what this game means in the division and in the bigger picture, obviously going on and going into the playoffs. So we throw our bodies around, and we're selling out for each other. We're selling out for our teammates, and we don't really. If something happens, if a little ding happens, then we'll fix it the next week and get it right. But we're definitely going 110% every play.
Because we do hear it on social media. Fans are like, I wish, you know, this team would treat it differently. And you hear the Steelers some weeks talk to the media that way. They're saying it's a little different with the rivalry this year. But do you guys mentally say, well, this is going to be a different game when we go into it?
We don't. I don't think that's how we approach it. I think we approach it kind of even keel. And I think that it just turns out that way. I think going into the game and the week of preparation, we have to treat every game. And that's why we say that, you know, we treat every game the same because it's our game plan. We're going to run the plays that, you know, we practice and that we feel will be successful. But in the game, obviously, everything gets amplified. Everyone gets more juice. And we know once we see him, we're like, all right, here it comes.
Yeah.
Like, we're ready.
We will run through stats that go back years and years, but there's not many players on this team. You're one of the few that were even around for the 15 playoff game, that have even been around for a lot of these games that haven't gone your way. Maybe it's easier to look back to last year's game in December, where you guys had the game under control, and granted, it doesn't end up being a win. But can you take something from that a little bit when you look back at that game? Because there's a lot of similar personnel that's still around on both those teams from that one, where you feel like you sort of proved, and certainly in the first half, that you can take it to them, where you feel like this can be an extension of what that was, maybe, but without the bad finish.
Right. I think for sure we'll look at those games, and obviously, you know, I'm not a big statistical guy, but I feel like you said that, you know, we have a team that hasn't really been through, you know, like the 15 playoff and that game, and certain games in the past that we've kind of tried to suppress from our memory, you know, looking mm-hmm. forward. And I think that we for sure will look at the game that we had last year and kind of point out or find things that we did successfully and look at that and be like, okay, well, where did that fall off? Mm-hmm. And I think that's something else that we've been able to do this year is like, all right, well, what's getting us over this hump? What's getting us over these winning these close games? And I think having, you know, a younger, I don't want to say younger guys because our older guys are our core guys for sure. And they're our leaders and they're the glue to our team. But I think having that little edge, that little swagger about us is what's kind of getting us, you know, all right, fourth quarter, we're going to win this game. Like if it's a close game, we feel we're going to win. There's not a question in our mind. So I think looking at the last year's game, we're going to say, okay, this is how we started. Now we're going to finish because that's what we do.
Yeah, and that really has been the difference between right. this year's team and the one of the last two is you guys have finished so well, both defensively and offensively, and it's won you guys games. But let's take a quick break. We're going to come back. It's going to be hot seat time. CJ will finally face Doc, and we'll see how that goes. We'll be right back here on BTS.
And we are back on Beyond the Stripes with the segment we call the hot seat. I haven't been very hot lately.
It's hot. It's hot right now.
Yeah, but I mean in terms of the questions, you guys have been playing well, and you know, I'm not really muck raking it up here, and I don't think I'm going to do it today either. Christopher James Uzama.
Yes.
How many people in this community knew that CJ stood for Christopher James?
Probably a handful of my teammates, and that would be probably about it.
How many people know that Uzama in Nigeria means the right path?
My family.
That's it, right?
Probably, yeah.
What language is that?
Yeah, it's Nigerian. My dad, actually, anytime I would get in trouble as a kid, he'd say, you're not living up to that Uzama name. You're not following that right path, so.
Yeah, and you listen to him?
That was a big weight. Yeah, on occasion.
Pretty much?
Yeah.
I hear that your parents had an alarm clock set for your curfew time.
Who said that?
I read it somewhere.
Yeah, I had it was when the clock struck and we had this chime, and if I wasn't there, I had to be back an hour early the following week.
So there literally was a clock.
There was
the
a clock.
Clock struck whatever.
Yep.
For Christopher James. Your parents also made you practice interviews?
They did. They did make me practice interviews.
I'm just up here schlepping it around, brother. I know these things.
They sat me down. This was in high school. They sat me down, and they wanted to make sure that I was fluent in everything that I said, that I didn't have too many filler words. And
No ums or likes.
Exactly.
No, you knows or like. That's very good.
It was.
I like that.
I think it helped.
I think it did, too. You're a well-spoken young man.
I appreciate that.
All right. All right, given that you're that way, I'm going to give you the cliche, and I'd like you to rank it 1 to 5, 1 being the most useful cliche, okay. And 5 being a total insult to a sports hack like myself, such as myself. We take it one game at a time. Is that 1 a great cliche, very useful, or 5 an insult to me?
I think that's pretty useful. I'd give it a 2.
A 2, okay. We can't get too high or too low.
I give that a 1.
That's great, huh?
Yeah.
That's Hall of Fame.
That's good stuff. Yeah. That's good stuff.
It's tough to win in this league.
That's also a 1.
That's a 1. Let me ask you this as an aside. If it's tough to win and half the teams do it, is it also tough to lose?
Ooh. That makes you think right there.
That's what I'm here.
Yeah, it's probably tough. No, it's tougher to win than it is to lose.
I'd just like to thank my teammates.
That's a 2.
We didn't execute.
I give that a 3. That's in the middle.
That's average.
That's in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, do you use these on a regular basis?
I do use my fair share of those.
Don't do that. How about this last one? Hey, the Pittsburgh Steelers get paid too.
Yeah, that's like a 4.
That's not very good.
Yeah,
I might think less of you.
Yeah, I mean that's
all right. Speaking of the Steelers, kind of touched on this already, but I'm going to ask it anyway. One word that best describes the way you feel about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
How I feel about them?
Yeah.
One word.
Not one word.
Tough. I'd say tough. I think they're a tough group, in and out, special teams, offense, defense.
The game here, I was talking to these guys beforehand about this. The game here last year was enough to make me consider for a week or two what I was doing, writing about this game, this sport. It was that violent to me. I watched it and literally my stomach started hurting about halfway through. Do you have any thoughts on that, on football in general and how that game was played?
Yeah, that was obviously it was an unbelievably physical game, probably one of the more physical games that I think I've seen, definitely been a part of. And I mean, that's just what happens when we play them, and they know that, we know that. We expect for it to be a dogfight. We expect for it to be a grind, and it's going to be a four-quarter game. And yeah, it's tough. It's certain things, obviously, you don't want to see happen, but we're throwing our bodies around and giving it our all, and we know. And I think that's the thing. It's a mutual respect, I think, more so than a hatred of one another. We respect them enough, and they respect us enough to know that we're going to give it our all, and we expect the same of them. So,
okay. Well, I thought that game crossed the line between being physical and just being kind of mindlessly reckless.
Sometimes football is mindlessly reckless.
Sometimes football is mindlessly reckless.
We do run into each other, so.
Do you think that everyone figures out with these new rules what they can and can't do, that the game will be better for it, in that quarterbacks will be more protected, and there's a decent chance there'll be more scoring?
I think that once everything gets figured out completely, I believe so. I think that because it's in the works and because it's so new, it's being overemphasized. Maybe some might say a little too much. I don't play quarterback or defense, so I'm in a very I'm sitting pretty right now with having to deal with that. But I think certain rules will definitely help the sport. I think that it'll make it a little safer, a little more enjoyable. Once everything, the dust settles and everyone kind of gets used to exactly what's going on.
You went to Auburn. Were you there when that guy poured the poison into the tree at Turner's Corner?
I was there.
What was that like? What was the outrage around campus like when that happened?
Outrage was...
It was like a death in the family.
It was crazy. I mean, it was honestly crazy. People were walking around the tree just looking at it like, wow, you're gonna be gone. You know, like they were just, I'm serious. You would walk by and people would just stand there and just look at it like, oh, wow, no. So, it was very somber, I guess, and it was tough when the trees actually got lifted and taken out. There was a big celebration for it, which was nice, but until that point, everyone was walking around campus kind of gloomy.
Do Auburn people feel like they're made to feel inferior by Bama people? Do Bama people try to do that?
Yes, I'd say yes. Growing up, I grew up in Georgia, so I had to deal with the go dogs my entire life. Going into that atmosphere, I think that Bama fans definitely try to make Auburn feel little brotherish, for sure.
You have a quote on your Twitter page. I'm going to try to pronounce this guy's name right. From Philip Lutzen?
Lutzenkirchen.
Lutzenkirchen.
Right.
The quote is, I know God's working, so I smile.
Right.
Tell us why you have that quote on there, and tell us about Philip.
So Philip was, and still is to me, a great guy. We played against him in high school, which is the first time that I knew who he was and saw him. And the Auburn coaches were actually watching his game. They came to our playoff game to watch him. And I ended up going off that game at receiver and had a few touchdowns. And so I met him when he went to Auburn, and he said, you know what? I don't know if I like you, but if you come here, I'll like you, because you single-handedly lost my senior year for me. So we've always had kind of a fun relationship, and I'm really close with his family. And he's a great guy, and I think that quote embodies him as a person and who I want to be. I want to be a man of God, and I want to all of my actions to, you know, exemplify that. And everything that I do on the field, I like to have fun. I like to smile a lot. And I kind of, you know, hope that he's looking down on me smiling, saying, you know what, my guy's having fun. He's having fun out there, and he's giving the glory to God. And that's all I can ask for.
He was a 23-year-old tight end who held records at Auburn for catching passes, correct?
Right. Yes.
And he died tragically.
Yes, he did.
In a car wreck.
Right.
One car accident.
Yes.
What, when you got that news, this is a stupid journalist question. How did you feel?
Well, it kind of took me back a little. I didn't really fully understand it. I was by myself when I heard the news too, which was kind of tough. Immediately went to my friends. They probably wouldn't care me telling their names, Tate O'Connor and Pat Young, two walk-on kids. And we ended up going to, there's an airport in Auburn. And we went there and we sat there for probably 3.5-4 hours until the sun set. Cause I heard it, I woke up pretty late that day. So I heard it, you know, around noon, and got food, went over to Tate's house, and we went to the airport immediately and just sat and listened to music. And there was a nice sunset that night too, so it was nice. And it was just a moment to reflect, you know. I wanted to be with them because they're my best friends, and you kind of take life for granted sometimes. So yeah, it was a nice little.
So how did his death impact your life?
Well, I think in the community, I wanted to be more. What's the word? I felt like I was impactful somewhat in the community, but I wanted to give more. Phil was always, he was always doing something. He was always, his smile was it's the funniest thing to me. The way he smiled was hilarious. And just the aura that he had around him, he made everyone smile. Every time I saw Phil, I could not help but smile because he was doing something goofy. Mm-hmm. He had this just silly smile on his face. So I wanted to bring that aspect of, you know, we're on a platform, and as professional athletes, I don't think we see that. I think, you know, we're in with one another, we're grinding, we're doing, you know, we're in film, we're in practice, and we don't really fully understand the impact that I think that we have on people's lives that look up to us, that mm-hmm. aspire to be professional athletes, and not just in football, but in any sport. And I think that it's important for us to take time, you know, just give a little time to someone who says, all right, can I have an autograph? Or, hey, can I take this selfie with you? Like, of course, let me take the selfie for you, you know? So I think I tried to live like Lutz in that way, in terms of just giving back.
Could I have that hockey jersey you wore, mm-hmm. when you leave it?
I can get you one. I can get you one. I'll talk to the boys in Jackson.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I can't take something like that. But thank you. You have a marketing degree?
I do.
What's life after football going to be like?
Hopefully, we'll see. But hopefully, I will live in Europe for a little. I am sponsored by Under Armour, so I hope to live in Amsterdam. That's where their European headquarters are. Do something in their marketing department there. I am an avid soccer fan, or football over there. I'm definitely going to have to say football over there. So hopefully something along the lines of marketing for Under Armour, maybe towards soccer teams or towards a specific club, maybe Chelsea. We'll see.
What about FC Cincinnati? Are we not big enough?
No. That's when I come back to the States.
I see.
When I come back to the States, that's going to be the primary market. But I'd like to live abroad for a year just to kind of travel a little bit, see what the world has to offer.
We call it foosball here. Did you know that?
Foosball.
Foosball. Not
you're talking
like,
about the...
No. What's it? Foosball. I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong. It's just German because we're German. This is a German
club. It is a German club.
Yeah. Man. Do you have anything you'd like to ask me?
I know the hair's not dyed.
That's right. That's
when I get older, how do I make sure... Not saying that you're just a little
not,
older.
Of course not.
But when I get older, how do I maintain the same, you know... suaveness that you have, the persona that you have. What are the keys?
You just gotta be who you are. You know.
Let me write these down.
I don't have a pen. You're making fun of me.
No, just be you.
Be you. You seem like you're pretty good at being you already.
I have
no worries for you, my son.
There it is.
And you are off the hot seat.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll be back momentarily on Beyond the Stripes.